Hello, you are listening to Talk Hard, QuickFlix's official film and TV podcast. I'm your host, Simon Morato. On today's show, I venture into the bowels of Comic-Con and catch up with the stars of Scrubs, Sam Lloyd and Robert Macchio. I also take a look at one of my favourite 2013 films, Enough Said, available this week from QuickFlix.
This is such nonsense.
No, it's not. It's the best sense I ever heard.
Sam Lloyd and Robert Macchio are probably best known as Ted and the Todd from Scrubs, two of the more invaluable supporting players in one of TV's last, genuinely successful, long-running sitcoms. From 2001 to 2010, Lloyd played the hapless, flop-sweaty lawyer Ted, while Macchio was Todd, the pansexual surgeon with a high five for any occasion. Though the names of series regulars Zach Braff, Sarah Chalk and John C. McGinley might be more familiar, the faces of Lloyd and Macchio are probably equally recognisable, even if those doing the recognising aren't able to quite place how it is they know them. This is what we discuss when they rolled into town as guests of Oz Comic-Con. In our chat, we talk about being a recurring guest actor in American TV, what it was like to get the news that Scrubs, after 9 years, had finally been axed, and what they're doing with themselves in 2014.
I never really know what to say to Turk's stupid surgery buddies, but I'm getting better. So, how's surgery?
It rocks. But my bedroom, that's where I really operate. Am I right? Come on, show Todd some love.
I hate showing Todd love.
Robert, you did about 120-odd episodes of Scrubs. And Sam, you closed in on a century. But I kind of want to... You didn't quite make it, but that's still
right.
Okay.
You're rubbing it in to start the interview, Simon. Yeah, huh?
I actually want to go back all the way to when you were auditioning for the part or when you're getting offered the part. And what you knew about it, did you know that these guys would become tapestry of the show, or was it at the prospect of just a one-off appearance?
Well, I mean, basically he said, you know, I think he said the same to you. He said, you want to do this, and you do the pilot, and then I'll probably bring you back.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said to me. He said there were no guarantees of it, you know, and, you know, when you have, what, six regulars, you don't know if that's going to happen. So, no, I mean, I didn't know. I hoped. I figured he'd probably bring me back for maybe one or two, you know, a year maybe if it took off. But he ended up making the show a little Simpson-esque in that it had this whole life beyond just the regular characters. He had all these recurring characters that would come back in, so I wasn't sure.
Did you feel like a bit of pressure to make an impression in the few early episodes you had so that you would get invited back and become part of the Springfield of Scrubs?
Yeah.
First of all, like, when you asked that question, it's so long ago.
Sure.
So, like, the idea of, like, the pilot and what we had, it's hindsight is 2020. I think that pilot could have been shot and never heard from again. So,
it almost was.
Right? Yeah. I mean, for me, when we were shooting that show, it was just like a magical week. And to sit here now, like, that was 2001, March 2001, to sit here with you now 13 years later and talk about it, it seems like almost a miracle. And it's a miracle, quite honestly. And so I just wanted to enjoy that week, make the most of it. And I had no expectations about what would come next, because quite honestly, I didn't know. I didn't really know how a season gets picked up, if it's 13 episodes, if it's 22, what are the odds that a show makes it through a season. In fact, once after the pilot, when the pilot got picked up, I was at the Hollywood YMCA after I had exercised, and I was laying on the grass, and Neil Flynn came out of the gym, played the janitor. And he's like, "Oh, Rob, you look so happy." I was like, "Yeah, the show got picked up." I was on the phone with my mom. He's like, "Yeah, but what does that mean for me?" And that's what he didn't even know, because he started as a guest star. So when you ask that question, like, hindsight is 2020, but who could have explained that here we are in Perth, Australia, 13 years later, thinking about, like, you know, like this grand arc of what was going to happen?
You know, it's like any show you get, you want to be... make an impression and get noticed. It wasn't just Scrubs, anything you do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Rob said, there was no guarantee it was going to go anywhere. And, you know, I've done a bunch of pilots that have gone nowhere, and I've done some series that have gone 6 episodes, 9 episodes, 13 episodes. So you never know what's going to happen. So when you go there, you do want to, you want to make your best impression, just in case. And also because, you know, the joy of doing something, you know, it's an opportunity, whether it goes one episode or no episodes, you get to do what you love to do. So you're going to give it your best shot.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the landscape today, and the fact that Scrubs ran 9 seasons, and that you guys were a part of it, and that the show not only got the pilot, but became somewhat of an iconic show, certainly of the first decade of the millennium, that's pretty miraculous. I mean, you don't know that you're making that kind of commitment from the start when you're auditioning for the pilot, right, or whatever. Is that something that you'd be keen to do again? Do you feel like investing another decade into another show or project? Is that something you could, if given the opportunity, want?
If the show was as well written as Scrubs.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we got to work with people who are friends like that, I mean, we really became friends.
But Scrubs was certainly an exception. I mean, it was just, you know, from the top on down, everybody was really fun to be with.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then I have friends who are in shows where they don't necessarily really want to be sure doing that show. But we were spoiled. We didn't have that problem.
Ted, you seem different.
I bought some relaxation tapes. They're working.
A patient's blaming me for losing his sense of smell.
God, you cut off someone's nose? Where is it? Do you have it on you? You're disgusting.
No, I just gave him IV imipenem.
Kelso's gonna blame me. Just get rid of the nose.
Ted, I don't have the nose. Maybe you should just calm down.
Maybe you should calm down!
Tell me a little bit about coming to the end of the 8th season, so the show is maybe getting axed, maybe coming back in a different...
No, it was over.
It was over. So
absolutely.
Officially, so
we shot a finale.
So you guys get the news that Scrubs is over, and you don't know the prospect of what's coming. What is that feeling like when 8 years have passed?
Thanks for bringing that up, man.
Panic.
Oh, crap.
Well, 8 years is like 4 years of college and 4 years of grad school. Like, it had run its course.
Now what am I going to do?
It was time to graduate and grow up, you know. But, I mean, it had come to an end, I would say. So I always thought that, you know, I would just jump onto another show. Who knew? The same way, like, when a show comes to an end or originates, when it ends, it's like you never know what's going to come next. But I felt pretty much that I had really explored every aspect of the one-note character I played on the show.
I literally gave
high fives in so many different ways that I couldn't come up with another one.
Sure. Like, there are
or so I thought.
Yeah. Well, there are more hours of the Todd on screen than there ever were of Michael Corleone, for instance. So you're really
interesting comparison.
Every element of a character.
Well, I've made that many times before.
But tell me about when the show comes back for a 9th season. I mean, do you have conflicted feelings about it returning when you have kind of what you're, you know?
No, I mean, I had just bought a house, so I thought, okay, you want to do 8 more episodes? That's great. Maybe I'll redo my kitchen. You know, in the beginning, you're like, oh, I got to pay my rent, so you do a job. And then at the end, you're like, oh, I got to pay my mortgage, so you do a job. You know, it's a very similar, like, life continues.
Absolutely.
So I thought, you know, at that point, it was like,
drug habit, so
yeah, I mean, I have a wife, a girlfriend, and a mistress. I have a lot of expenses here.
Just one?
Yeah, that's
you
it.
I'm tired.
And a Viagra prescription. You know, it's a lot.
It's a lot of money. Well, Bill has invited you guys back on Cougar Town, which is his follow-up project to Scrubs. What was it, I guess, mostly for Sandy, what was it like to step back into the shoes of that character? I mean, I'm assuming Ted isn't the most, it's not the most emotionally healthy place to be when you're in that kind of position.
You assumed correctly, yes. Yeah, no, I'm like, first you're like, yeah, and then you're like, oh, crap. I gotta put on that crappy suit again. Gotta get sweated on down, you know. Gotta be sad. But it was fun to do also because so many people on the crew and the cast had worked on Scrubs. So it was kind of like a little bit of a reunion in that way.
That was funny because when they brought back Scrubs for season 9, Cougar Town was also launching at the same time. And they had moved to a new set, Culver City Studios, so they were right across from each other.
And half of the crew from Scrubs went to Cougar Town, and half stayed with Scrubs Season 9. And I always thought to myself, that half that stayed with Scrubs Season 9, what a mistake. Because Cougar Town is still going, of course. And like, Bill gave me a job on Season 9, Scrubs. I'm like, dude, that's ominous.
Well, you guys are in town for Comic-Con, as you kind of mentioned, Perth and Adelaide. Do you do the fan convention thing often?
I rope Sam into this. I've done... I got contacted, and I've done two a year for the last 3 years, so this is my sixth one. It was something that I was never aware of. When Scrubs was on, had I known, I would have taken advantage of all of this. Because it's an incredible opportunity to really go around the world, all expenses paid, make money, and also meet all these people.
Sure.
And I want to say one other thing about that before I... Since Scrubs has come to an end, like Twitter, Facebook, I hear from people all the time, and they're like, from all over the world, and that's in part why I was like, well, why don't I go to this London Film and Comic-Con? Why don't I come to Australia? And people would write to me, and they'd be like, you know, it's like my wife's first day at work. Could you send her a good luck five? Or it's our anniversary. Could you wish us a happy anniversary five? And I came up with this idea, basically, to develop a high five app, which I've done. And it's a free app, and it's available on the App Store on iOS and Google Play on Android. And I have become connected to so many people just simply via a high five. And for me, it's like a fascinating experience to be able to reach out to all these different people who have subsequently found Scrubs after the show has actually come to an end.
For sure. Yeah. Sam, is there a TED app that you could potentially...
Yeah, it's my TED sweat.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sweat like Ted. Sweating with Teddy.
Sure.
Have oldies Sweaty music.
Teddy, yeah.
Don't keep it in the phone in your pocket. It'll work its way through the jeans. Well, tell me about some fan experiences you've had then. I mean, I saw on the Comic-Con page people can bring stuff for you to sign, and I'm terrified at the prospect of what people are bringing
first
to Todd to sign for.
I give out to kids doc tattoos.
Right.
Because they want to be the Todd. And I'll sign like Scrubs. Oh, here's my high five, that, by the way.
I've signed breasts.
Yes.
I've signed buttocks.
Yeah, I've signed everything. I've signed
Did
all...
Did you know that when the Blanks were in the UK at the Edinburgh Festival,
yeah,
this woman came up and had to sign her leg and came back 5 days later with it tattooed.
Oh, my God.
That puts a lot of pressure on the particular signature that you're going to put on if you knew that beforehand.
Yeah, exactly.
They're so
yeah.
crazy. Some of them are crazy.
Yeah.
I think some of them are crazy.
Well, I look forward to you meeting a few of them over this weekend, especially his birth.
We're totally psyched. Yeah, we can take pictures with them. We can...
Pictures, autographs, sell some. You have your blank CDs?
Yeah, I have some blank CDs.
Well, they're like this. They've organized a dinner. Have dinner with Ted and Todd. It's like on Saturday night. It's going to be wild. We're going to do shots.
We're
totally going to get hammered.
Yeah.
Get groped by the Todd. We're
fine. We've all been dreaming of it.
Right?
On that note, though, I guess, especially when you are character actors on a comedy show or a sitcom, I think people do associate you with those guys.
Yeah,
you know,
for
sure. And it's on the streets. Is it hard to, you know, when you're getting recognized, is it hard to divorce yourself from the characters you're playing? Like, or not personally, but the way people are kind of relating to you?
I mean, for me, it seems, you know, usually... It's been a long time. The show's been over for 4 years, so I feel like, particularly in Los Angeles, where everybody's in their own world, everybody's busy looking at themselves in the mirror, much less looking at others. But when I travel abroad, I do feel like I get recognized a lot. But it's a nice problem to have. You know, it's not. You know, I don't feel bad about it. It wasn't like I played like a rapist. You know, like a horrible character. I played like a guy who was just. Spread some love in this world. By one five high five.
Sexually ambiguous.
Yeah. So I enjoy meeting people who recognize me. They're usually quite nice.
Excellent.
Yeah. People with me, a lot of the time, people will see me and I'll be like pumping gas, and they'll look over at me and do a double take and go, "Hey," you know, and then they go, "You look great. What happened to you?" They're like, wow, you look much younger in real life, man.
That's a good kind of recognition.
It is a nice recognition, but you know, now I understand why I don't get more auditions.
Sam, I understand you did a one-man show last year, Fully Committed. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit about what it's like as a supporting player to kind of not just stand to the front, but be the only person in something?
Oh yeah, it's like, well, in this show in particular is just insane. I play a reservationist at a trendy New York restaurant, okay? I'm in the cellar all by myself answering phones. So I play myself as well as every single person that calls in on the phone. as well as the chef and the maitre d' and the hostess and about 40 different characters during the show. So, it's when I was first learning it, especially, it's terrifying.
Yeah. But a satisfying experience?
Yeah, yeah. It's great because if you can pull it off, it's, you know, people go, how did you do that? You know? Which I ask myself every time.
And Robert, are you doing much stand-up these days?
I make appearances from time to time at different colleges around the country. And, you know, I'm not really a stand-up. Like, I did it for 7 or 8 years when I was an aspiring actor. But, again, like, I just enjoy meeting people, especially young people. And so I do it from time to time. Now, Bill has a new show coming up called Undateable on NBC, and I made a guest spot on that this year. And I played perhaps the most undateable character on TV. And I'm looking forward for that premiere. Yeah.
More than the
yeah,
Todd.
I was gonna say, yeah, the Todd is not what I would
yeah, I've got
the
I've got
character.
The corner on this market. Sure. And so, you know, I'm keeping true to my brand.
Absolutely. Nice. Well, I look forward to that, guys. Enjoy Perth. And thanks for your time this morning.
Nice to meet
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Simon.
You too.
Superman. Now it's time to take a look at what's new at QuickFlix, so here's my review of Enough Said.
So you're a masseuse?
I am.
What is it that you do?
I'm a poet.
And I'm a dreamer.
No, really.
Oh, you're really a poet?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is Albert.
Hey.
Hi. Eva was just telling me there is not one guy at this party that she's attracted
what?
To.
What?
Really?
He's kind of flabby and middle-aged.
You're wearing your pajamas?
I like to be comfortable. Let's...
I can see your penis.
What? Oh, my God.
But he's sexy to me.
Want a kiss?
Yeah.
It's been about 15 years since Julia Louis-Dreyfus last graced the big screen, an absence I hadn't even realised. That's on me. Having now witnessed her comeback effort, Enough Said... It's an absence I pray we never have to endure again. She's never been far from the public eye and has nary gone a television season without accruing acclaim and being fantastically funny. Yet, Louis-Dreyfus' starring role in Nicole Holofcener's latest romantic comedy is a powerful reminder that her talents are not limited to stealing sitcoms. As 50-something masseuse and divorcee Eva, she's as incandescent, sprightly, exceptionally comfortable and emotionally involving as any other buzzed about ingenue that might be currently enthralling Hollywood casting executives. In the months leading up to Eva's offspring, Ellen, moving away to college, Eva prepares herself for an impending empty nest by populating her life with similarly lonely souls. She starts dating the sweet, schlubby Albert, played by James Gandolfini, befriends a client, poet Marianne, played by Catherine Keener, and takes under her wing Ellen's latchkey pal Chloe, played by Tavi Gevinson, slowly transitioning the teen into her ersatz daughter. Eva's new existence is upended by the realization that Albert and Marianne are ex-husband and wife. A farcical contrivance sold by Holofcener's understated script, tranquil direction, and Louis-Dreyfus's expertise in making sitcom plots seem completely normal. The passing of Gandolfini in 2013 only adds further melancholy and pathos to what is already a rather sweet and sad little number, his lumbering, golden-hearted presence warmer than even the sun-drenched cinematography. He and Louis-Dreyfus have miraculous chemistry, and their romance is more natural than most on celluloid. It's not the kind of role that would define the hard man's career, but I can't imagine a finer note for an actor as talented and as reportedly warm as he was to bow out on. Holofcener's script is humane, beautifully realised, and funny in all the right ways. Her time directing shows Parks and Recreation and Enlightened was well spent, and likely further honed her already instinctive ability to capture the trials of women yearning for personal satisfaction, and still being super hilarious in the process. There's also a boldness and frankness to Enough Said, simply through the way in which it deals with later-in-life sexual liaisons. Yes, by addressing this maddeningly taboo subject and not making a big deal about it, means the film is, by most rom-com standards, practically revolutionary. It's been many moons since a romantic comedy delighted me so, and an eon since one enraptured audiences. The unassuming Enough Said may not have set the box office on fire, but it confirms that the rom-com is alive and well and living in Louis-Dreyfus. Enough Said is now available on QuickFlix. That'll do it for this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or leave us a nice review. And, hey, tell your friends about Talk Hard. If you have any questions, send it to talkhard@quickflix.com.au or find me on Twitter @SimonMorado. Thanks, as always, to RTRFM for their recording facilities and Blue Ducks for our theme song. Until next time.
scientists are saying the future is going to be far more futuristic than they originally predicted.